Now, to do this a little bit further, let's talk about something called the stepping stone principle and a concept called the pyramid of learning. Now, the stepping stone principle, this is a wonderful picture which I use all the time for this process. Stepping stones mean if you're trying to teach a dog something, particularly something which is difficult for the animal to learn, e.g., in this case, trying to teach your dog to be content when you're away for 9 hours, you know very well that giving a Kong toy one or two liver treats in the morning when you leave, there's no way that's going to cater for a 9-hour absence for the bad anxiety dog. There's no way it's going to work. So that's where we want to get an 8 or 9 hour absence. But we start working here with the trial separations technique by just getting separated for the length of a shower, which may be 5 minutes, or vacuuming the house, which may be 15 minutes. So that's the first stepping stone, because mathematically, we can always increase the time of separation. Looking at this another way, let's look at this interesting thing called the pyramid of learning. And while there's lots of words here, it's easy to describe. The apex of the pyramid is the final outcome. And you might say, I need to achieve that I can leave my dogs for 8 hours and my dog is calm. Or I can go out for a dinner when needed at night and my dog is calm. Two different forms of a separation anxiety. The 8-hour one could be a daily, 5-day-a-week problem, with a romantic dinner on a Saturday night one might be just a once-a-month problem. So same problem, separation anxiety, different manifestations. But you know very well that you can't do that in one step. So you work your foundation of the pyramid first, things which are easy to achieve. So here we have examples of the trial separation technique, moving up to example of the stage leaving technique. So you might, for instance, put the dog outside when you're vacuuming, and you say, tick, tick, yes, I've managed to achieve that several times this week. That's a trial separation. In the laundry, when I'm showering with a carton of magic or a daily rabbit. In a crate in the lounge room when I'm watching TV. On the other side of a baby gate when I'm reading in my bedroom. So these are the baseline ones, and the more you do those, the more you've got a solid foundation which will help you to get the first part, which is the trial separation technique, going. But you've got to get out of the house. So the out of the house could be the next level. You say, I'm going to leave my dog when I'm just doing a little bit of gardening outside. So I'm walking out the door. The door is closed. My dog's got all of his no-board dog stuff. But I'm outside listening, and I'm gardening with my pair of shears, and I'm listening to what he's doing, and at the first signs of distress, I'm just going to casually open the door, wander inside, make a cup of coffee, ignore the dog totally, but I'm going to do that before he gets too upset. So later in the day, I can always go out and finish pruning the rose bushes. So this is getting you out of the house. Or maybe you leave when you're just going to the letterbox. A 30-second trip. Go to the letterbox, close the door. Is the dog noisy? Maybe listening on the mobile phone? No. Well, I'll read the mail at the letterbox. Oh, it's starting to squeak. I'm just going to drift back inside again, ignore the dog as I come through the door, do some maintenance around the home, and maybe I'll go to the mailbox again later in the day. Left when relaxing with a book. So again, you might close the bedroom door, or indeed this one could refer to you sitting in a deck chair in the backyard with the dog locked inside the house, or the front yard if the dog is in the backyard. Or left while I wash the car, another good reason for going out the door and closing, going out the house and closing the door. So all of these are the second level. And you'd work your pyramid until, for instance, we have this one going near the apex, left while I go to the shop for 2 hours. Standard visit to the supermarket, running around with your list of things, going, oh, what's the dog doing? Maybe you've got your mobile phone linked to another mobile phone in the house, and you keep ringing, the dog's doing okay, the dog's doing okay. Oh, bit of noise, abandon the shopping trolley, everything defrosts the shopping trolley, joking, and you race home because the dog's in some distress or something similar. So you can measure it using your methods of surveillance. So the pyramid of learning is something that we use quite a bit because it comes into many different forms of teaching dogs to be good. We use this for aggression, we use it for all other forms of behaviour. It's even a technique that works with cats. The basic symbol is create your foundation, work to your apex, and measure your success. So more about the trial separations and the stage leaving technique. Just in summary, so with the trial separations technique, you get away from your dog when you are home, and with the stage leaving technique, you leave home for small amounts of time, then for longer amounts of time as separation anxiety, as your success is proven. So a very interesting concept. You see how they all work together? But you've got to have that joy of leaving created by the fact that you're not feeding a dog at home, and therefore the dog is therefore inclined, we hope, to eat food when you're away. Yes, it's still a problem if your dog doesn't like food when you're not there, because of the panic, and we'll get onto that shortly. A little bit more on the stage leaving technique. all those things you do in the morning, from 6 a.m. through to 7 p.m. when you're leaving, 7 a.m. when you're leaving, are where the problem comes in. All the repetitive actions and the odours, don't forget the odours of the aftershave and the deodorants and the shampoos and the coffee. We can't start our mornings without a heart starter of caffeine, double dose for me. But all of those smells, which you can smell, they're a slap in the face of the dog, because on a Saturday, there's not the intensity of activity. Maybe you get up and you don't have a shower until midday. Maybe you don't make your coffee until 9 o'clock in the morning rather than 6:30 a.m. So the Saturdays and Sundays are much more diluted. And probably you don't wear your high-heel shoes out of the door when you go. I don't wear high-heel shoes much any longer. But it's fishnet stockings that made my dog upset. So all of those things in the morning. But one of the big things is the garage and the car. This mechanical monster and Madame Guillotine of the garage door that comes down are major issues. They're so noisy. And the garage door is the final nail in the coffin, metaphorically speaking, of these poor dogs. They say, when I hear that kaboom, that's my fate sealed. Dad and Mum are now gone for a 9 or 10 hour day. Now I'm going to start howling and being distressed. That's where the problem starts to come in, this rotten mechanical monster. So what do we do here? Well, the first thing is we use the no board dogs routine to get out of the house in the morning. And indeed, what happens here, if you're leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning, I would suggest you get your car out at 15 minutes to 7. Get it out of the driveway, get the garage door down, park it on the street in the direction you would leave when you are eventually ready to go, and then come back inside. And you might even do that in your PJs. So everything is diluted because the car and the noise, the dog says, oh, anxiety, anxiety, but you just come back inside again. Whew, I'm over that. Bear in mind, this dog is hungry, hasn't eaten since 5 o'clock the day beforehand. Then what you do is the magical thing of this no-board dogs routine. You let the no-board dogs routine amuse your dog. Sorry, that's the next bit. You let the no-board dogs routine get you out of the house in the morning. So you give your dog your 1 or 2 or 3 daily rabbits in whatever way you like. Just at leaving time, the dog goes, thank you, I'm so hungry. And the dog leaps into those. And, of course, you've practiced this with the base of the pyramid so many times before that today is no real different to any other day you've done this. You jump out of the house, you get in the car, you do a clutch dive by the time you get to Woolloongabba, and everything is much softer. And, of course, you might be listening on a mobile. Maybe you've got a Bluetooth headset in your car so you can listen to what your dog's doing if you're using the mobile phone to get yourself out. And, of course, you've got all your other recording implements with webcams and software and recorded things and talcum powder on the floor and rugs on the bed and all these things which are taking you 12 hours to set up before you leave. And you let the no-board dogs routine amuse your dog during the day. Now imagine, by the way, if you're putting all these leaking cartons and things around the place, the dog's nose is a very good measure of what's happening. The stomach says, I'm hungry, and then he sees you messing around with all these weird rabbits on the draining board of the kitchen, putting food in this one and toilet roll calls are very, very good. Wonderful carton of magic. Put food inside there, fold the ends over. Very, very good. Haven't shown you these, have I? This is my stuff rescued from the recycling bin, by the way. That's a carton of magic. That's a carton of magic. Double whammy. 2 cardboard cartons in there. Provided the dog doesn't eat cardboard, all very good. So you have all these rabbits delivering themselves to the dog during the day, and hopefully the dog is very motivated to say, that is absolutely wonderful. Just make sure your dog doesn't eat the cardboard. And, of course, what do you do at the end of the day? Very simple. You ignore your dog. When you come in through, your dog's going to be ballistically attention-seeking, stick your nose in the air, walk straight past him. No interaction while the dog's a high-level anxiety. But as you start to drift away from him, make your cup of coffee and maybe you change your clothes and all the rest, the dog's anxiety is starting to come down. And as the dog's anxiety starts to come down, you start to come up with a reward for the serene behaviour, which is what you're trying to develop. So that's the way to get home. Very simply done.